Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at that this morning, really kind of focus at verse 39 on. But as you're turning there, we're going to be closing up our Advent series this morning. And one of the challenges that always happens with Advent is, how do we help people gain some perspective on why Advent exists at all? Oftentimes we jump straight from Thanksgiving right into Christmas. And truly, in the Christian sort of calendar perspective, Christmas doesn't come right away. In fact, Christmas doesn't come until the Advent season is over. And then Christmas starts on December 25th and carries through January the 5th. So like the whole window of time, that's where that 12 days of Christmas came from, is the whole idea of December 25th to January 4th. January 5th, excuse me, my goodness. So really, when we come to this place, part of the challenge is saying, how do we get back this idea of Advent, the arrival of Christ, being able to focus and not let our minds get overwhelmed by the holiday itself? So one of the challenges, a couple of questions for you this morning is this: are you tired? If you come here tired, most people will admit they're tired. Some of you won't. You're lying. You're tired. You know that you are. This whole season has exhausted you. And in so many ways, that's what ends up happening is we move from Thanksgiving into this place where now we're worried about everything. We want to make sure we get our presents on time. We want to make sure now, in an age when you can order everything online, you still feel like this real pressure of, I got to get it done. It's got to happen. And then in this age when we are so driven by being mobile, so many families live 1 hour, 3 hours, 5 hours away from each other. And they have to make plans on, okay, where are we having dinner? And where are we going to open presents? And before you know it, this whole thing becomes a matter of, man, I just want it to be over. Like when we ask people, are you ready for Christmas? And they say yes, they don't mean I'm super excited. They're like, I got to have a break. This is awful. Has the season worn you out a little bit? Right? Like all the anxiety and all the uncertainties. And you know there's something lurking inside of there that just simply says, this is really not what this is about. I'm missing something somewhere, but really, I don't have enough time to correct it. So I'm just going to keep going the way that I have been, and just hopefully it'll work out somewhere. See, that's what Advent is actually about. Advent is this space where we are learning to prepare ourselves for the arrival of Jesus. Now, for us, we speak of his arrival in two ways. Obviously, the birth of Jesus, but more specifically for us, we speak of his return. When we think of Advent, we see this season, we recognize it's a celebration of the coming return of Jesus. You see, for the Christian, when we look at our calendar, we say the Christian calendar begins at Advent. It doesn't begin in January. So this space is where we're learning to, again, see life new and see it exciting. Around our house, it's a great time to be watching movies. I love that. One of our favorite movies from this season, of course, is Elf. And who can really, you know, wrong us for that, because I think it's such a great movie. But ultimately, what does Buddy the Elf say? He says, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear, right? No one does that. Why is that? Around my house, I sing all the time. I'm the only one singing around all the house all the time, but I'm it. And yeah, I mess the songs up mostly. I don't really care, but I just do. But I'm that guy that's running around the house singing all the time, whether it's Christmas or whatever it may be. And yesterday, Debbie and I were driving around. It's the first time we've actually had a chance to go shopping together in like 19 years. So it was an incredible experience just to kind of do that. But music was playing on the radio, and I told Debbie, I said, I absolutely love this season because I can hear those songs and I can hear what's happening. But it's taken me a long time to get there. And one of the major challenges of the Advent season is saying, do you recognize that there's a song we all long to hear? It's a song that we're all driving to understand. It's a song that answers, am I really loved? Do I really matter? And when we figure it out, there's something within us that just won't stop singing. Years ago, I was introduced to the music of Enya, and I absolutely love that tone, that kind of Irish Celtic sound. And there were albums that I was listening to, one of them that came up was Shepherd Moons, and there was a song on it where she was just singing, and she was celebrating the reality of life is so great, and there's so many wonderful things about life, and I just can't keep myself from singing. And I thought, man, this is such a great song. It has such a strong biblical tone to it. But the more I looked at it, I realized that actually Enya was just doing a cover of a song from a man named Pete Seeger. And in the 40s, Pete had started his music kind of career, if you will, and then kind of laid low for about 10 years. And then into the early 60s, he began with sort of the protest movement, began to sing a lot of songs that really kind of resonated with that attitude and that era, and allowed people an opportunity to express what they were feeling. And he actually penned this song during that time, but I found out that he didn't pen it either. He actually penned it as a result of a friend of his who had sung the song growing up in church. And in 1869, Robert Lowry wrote a song called How Can I Keep From Singing? And when Robert Lowry wrote the song, it was driven by the idea of Christ. When Pete Seeger wrote the song, he replaced the ideas or the analogies of Christ with more relevant contemporary terms for his movement. But in 1869, these are a couple of the verses that Robert Lowry wrote. He says, "My life on an endless song above earth's lamentation, I catch the sweet, though far off, him that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and all the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing?" Verse 4 is probably my favorite verse in the whole song. You can read along with me. He says, "I lift my eyes and the cloud grows thin. I see the blue above it. And day by day this pathway smooths since I first learned to love it. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am his. How can I keep from singing?" And the refrain says, "No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?" See, Advent is a time when the song that God has been singing to us shows up again. And our challenge is whether or not during this time that we'll hear it and sing that song with all of our hearts so that others can hear it too. Because Advent is about this great song God is singing to us. Will you pray with me? Lord, I love you and I thank you for this space and I thank you for the opportunity we have. So we open your word today and we hear the song again. Would you just open our eyes to see how you've been singing this to us all along, how your deep love for us is real. But it became all the more apparent to us when you sent your son as a baby to grow into a man who would die on a cross for our sins and raise from the dead. And that song can be heard by us if we will repent of our sins and turn to you, make him Lord of our life. This season is that reminder, Lord, that you've answered that call in our hearts, that deep longing to be loved. You've answered it. Our prayer is that today we'll hear it. I thank you for this opportunity and for your word. Would you open our eyes and our heart to hear it? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to follow along with me in Luke chapter 1. Beginning at verse 39. Now, before we enter into this, I want to remind you, last week we talked about John the Baptizer and the unique relationship John has to the story of Jesus, but also how we're sort of this generation. Every generation of believers is their generation for John the Baptizer, if you will. We're the ones who are preparing the way for the return of Jesus. But the voice of John calls us to hear what Jesus has done for us and to make that true in our lives. But one of the things that we learned about John was he had this miraculous birth. This miraculous story of his mom and his dad, who were well along in their years, becoming pregnant because of God's promise to them. And then there was a story as we followed along as well with Mary. And Mary becomes pregnant as a result of the movement of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to be clear with you. 21 centuries ago, the church taught that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, meaning that Jesus was born from a virgin. 21 centuries later, we still believe that. That hasn't changed. People go, how can you possibly believe that in light of all the advancements? I don't know. I believe God made man from dirt. So I don't really have a hard time believing that he could have brought this about. But on top of that, I believe in the resurrection, which means that I can believe in just about anything without any problem when I look at the scriptures and I go, okay, Lord, I trust you with it. I don't fully understand it, but I know that's what you were doing. So centuries ago, that was the story, and it still remains true for us today. And this story is an amazing story because Mary and Elizabeth are related. And how God moves in their lives has changed forever the way we understand God. And so as we read that today, I want you to keep that in mind. Beginning at verse 39, we read this. At that time, Mary had been visited by Gabriel to tell her what was going on. And during that time, Gabriel said, your relative Elizabeth is also pregnant, 6 months. And so you know that God can move. So because of that, Mary visits. So she got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Now, Advent is a time when we're invited to hear this story again. And Advent reminds us to see God's love in his promises. Advent reminds us to see God's love in his promises. So Mary hears that her relative Elizabeth is pregnant. Now, Elizabeth is very, very well along in her years, well beyond when she should be able to have conceived a child. But she has. So Mary sets out to go see her. She's not commanded to do so. We don't have any explanation from Luke why she sought to do that. But I think the real practical reality is that Mary looked at this situation in all likelihood and said, "I need to go see Elizabeth. God has moved in my life. He's moved in her life. I want to hear her story, and she needs to hear mine." So Mary sets off, a very young teenager, to be mindful, sets off to go see Elizabeth. And in many ways, it's incredible to us because while she's there, undoubtedly, it's a time of encouragement and comfort. There's support. Elizabeth celebrates Mary from the very beginning. And she says at verse 42, in a loud voice, she exclaimed. Can you imagine Elizabeth yelling at Mary? That's what it is. She's yelling at her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." It's an incredible picture to see this interchange, to see these two women in a culture that ultimately didn't look very highly upon women. Oddly enough, in the account of this story, we don't hear of Joseph or Zechariah at all, that it is Mary and Elizabeth, and they're having this conversation. And you know, it's beautiful because God chooses to use who he wants to. And there isn't any way that we can orchestrate that in a better way. I came across this quote this week, and it says, "The Spirit chooses whom it will be voices and agents, who it will to be voices and agents of the divine purpose. And the chosen will often be those who have little social status or economic power. In the church and beyond, anyone can be at the forefront of the Spirit's work, and it's the job of the rest of us to discern, to listen, and to gratefully follow their lead." It is a beautiful picture of how God is moving. God didn't choose the most dynamic of people. He didn't use a royal setting. He chose two women that nobody would have suspected this was ever going to happen. And sometimes I think we forget that in this season, that God doesn't need us for anything. He invites us to be a part of what he's doing. Sometimes in our head, we really have convinced ourselves, hey, God is in need of me, so I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do all these different things, and God's really going to be proud of me. And God may be proud of you, but he doesn't need you. And sometimes the way we gauge whether or not God could use someone or not is based on what they look like, or where they come from, or what they do. And the story of Mary and Elizabeth is that God is saying, I don't care where you come from or what you do. I care about your heart and your willingness to do what I'm asking you to. And for so many of us, we need to hear this in this season, that God may use you for all that you have accomplished, and he may not use any of your accomplishments, but still use you. And I think if we were honest, 21 centuries later, if we could sit in the room with Mary and Elizabeth when this conversation was happening, we might hear it more like this. Is God serious here? I am literally an old woman, never pregnant, though I pray for it all of my marriage. Now, at the end of my life, I am 6 months pregnant. But I'm grateful. I'm astounded that God has chosen me to confound the wise and the know-it-alls. And you're not yet 16. You haven't even begun to know the weight of adulthood and married life. And let's not even imagine how this happened. It's absurd. But our God is great, and his plans are unconventional. He doesn't have to follow suit to our world, and that's exactly what he's done. How wonderful that he has privileged me and my child to be here with you. That the God of creation doesn't care what your status is. He doesn't. Because it doesn't matter what it is. God can use anyone. And the story of Mary and Elizabeth is not just simply that he can use anyone, but that he does. And that the celebration of that is where the song of love shows up. Where for so many of us in our lives, we wonder, can I do anything for the Lord? Am I eligible for anything for God's mercy and his kindness, for whatever he's going to do? We look at our lives and we lay them out on a table and we go, well, I don't know if I fit the bill. I don't know if what I'm supposed to be doing is right. Sometimes we've even fallen prey to this idea that the only people who really can do the work of God are people who stand from a stage and we call them pastor. And God says it doesn't work that way. Advent says, I will use anyone that I want to, and I often use the most unlikely of people. It's the way I work. And for many of us, it's a challenge for us to hear what it is that God's doing and to see it. Elizabeth and Mary are having this conversation. Luke records for us what Mary records, or what Mary states. Verse 46 says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is an amazing song, if you will. It's a poem of sorts, what we often refer to as the Magnificat, because in Latin that word means magnify. When she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, it means to magnify. And this beautiful picture that Mary paints is one of greatly answering the question that so many of us have often asked, does God even care what's going on in my life? So many times the prayers, so many times the concerns that we have, they put them out there and we say, God, can you give me wisdom? Can you give me direction? Can you show me that you're active? Mary's poem to us answers that great longing for us, because Advent's answer to our longing for love is he has. Advent's answer to our great longing for love is he has. In this passage, Mary says 7 times, he has done something. Mary says from the beginning that God is gracious and to be glorified, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She says in verse 49, the mighty one has done great things for me, holy his name. Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him. Verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. In this season, Advent reminds us that the great song God is singing to us is that he has. What we're looking for in our lives, those things that we can't seem to make sense of. You know, in this season, we often complain about how tired we are, how frustrated we are, and how we can't seem to find our way around because of all the work we're doing for Christmas. But the truth is, at the heart, the problem is that we ourselves don't believe the story. We don't believe that God loves us this deeply. And that the song calls to us in the season to remind us that he does. That he hasn't forgotten us. That he has given hope to the hopeless. He has given arms to those who feel they have no strength. He's given promise to those whose lives have bottomed out. He has been mindful of the lowly state of all those around who are constantly pushed against because they don't have the economic status or the educational status, or because they don't have the gender, or because they don't manage to be in a certain particular field, or they don't have a particular race. So whatever it may be, they're constantly battling against it. And in this season, God says, I have answered your longing. What you are looking for is in my son. I've heard your cries. I've heard your brokenness. I've heard your uncertainties. And I've answered them with the song of my son. And so many of us have to hear that to remind us that victory has come to us in Jesus. In this season, we sing of victory. We sing of hope. That song is constantly pushing through us. And so the question that I have for you this morning is, during this season, have you stopped long enough to prepare for the arrival of Jesus, or has it caught you off guard? In this season, have you stopped long enough to prepare yourself for the arrival of Jesus, or has it caught you off guard? How has God been present with you in this season? How has he been present? I challenged everyone, get into a devotional thought this season, just to let God stir it up a little bit. I challenged you to find an Advent tradition or something, do something different, make a commitment. Why? Because that's the way that you're preparing yourself for the arrival of Jesus. How has the presence of Jesus interrupted your life this season? Because isn't that really what happens? Right? That in what really is taking place is that God has interrupted our lives. We have all the patterns and all the things that we do, but in this season, we're reminded again of how God has interrupted our life. And my question is, in what ways has he? I want you to just take a moment, think of one time this season when you asked God for something, and you can see now his response was, I have. I just want you to think for a moment, in this season, something you asked God for, wisdom or direction or patience, and he has said, I have. Because in this season, we're challenged to sing that and celebrate it. Last thing I want you to think about this morning is that Advent calls us to sing of God's love on display in Jesus. This is what this season is truly about. Advent prepares us for Christmas because it says to us, he's coming. Now, in some ways, for us, it's a matter of every year we get a chance to tell the world around us this story. But more importantly, every year at this time, we get to experience it again. If we're willing and open, we'll get to hear the song again of this deep love God has for us. But it's up to us to decide it. But once we figure that, once we hear that, then it becomes our job, and Advent reminds us to sing of God's love in Jesus. Mary and Elizabeth's story reminds us that God does favor the lowly, the economically deprived, the socially forgotten. God does favor them. The gospel according to Luke, you cannot read without seeing that. He favors the broken. He favors those whose hearts are vulnerable, who feel threatened, or they feel oppressed, or they feel abused. God favors them. It is not that he doesn't have a love for those who don't get that sense in their lives, but a majority of the world and how they feel about their lives are those things. And Advent says to us, I love you. And I haven't forgotten you. And it's a call to us in this season to sing of that and to be grateful for what it is. Again, it's that challenge for us to sing of the great things God has done. Advent's a time when we're reminded to consider the ways we can sing with Mary in the renewal of life God has given. How great it is to know that he hasn't forgotten us. That God doesn't favor the wealthy above the poor. That God does not prefer those who have everything together, but instead has some unique fascination and love for those who can't ever seem to get it together. Who are consistently walking around wondering why they can't get it straight, who consistently find their cheese falling off their cracker. They're constantly asking the question of why am I in this place? Why can't I get it right? And God says to them, I love you. And whether you get it right or you don't, we'll do this together if you'll let me. And Advent says, sing of that. Celebrate that. Let people around you know that it's real. Advent is a time when we can ask God to give us an honest perspective of who we are and trust him with it. Last week we talked about we cannot have this conversation of the birth of Jesus without talking about the death of Jesus. People say, that's so maudlin. No, it's not. It's liberating. When we can speak honestly of the purpose of Jesus coming, then we can speak honestly to anyone of why he still matters. And this season is an honest opportunity for us to see that. But it's also a way for us to acknowledge that God's work is done in an upside-down manner. That instead of putting everything in the basket of those who are well-to-do and those who have it all nailed down, God uses those that nobody thinks he has any interest in whatsoever. In fact, uses those that everybody would think something must be wrong with the situation. Have you given much thought to this idea in this season? That Mary is an unwed teenage mother. And Elizabeth is an elderly woman who will give birth to a child that she will likely not see grow up. And yet both of them still celebrate the God who loves us all. Much of what we do in our lives, we may not fully understand why. What Advent does is to remind us we don't have to. There's something just wonderful about being invited into it overall. And to let God move and do what he's going to do. Advent may be a time when God says to each of us, do you feel slighted? Do you feel or get the sense that you're being overlooked? We may hear God say to us, have you been made to feel that you don't count? Good. That's the way it ought to be. This way you make sure to make others feel the way you want to be treated, not the way you feel you deserve to be treated. Advent is this season where we're reminded that God uses whomever he wants to, and his work will not be thwarted. And the deep love that every one of us long for is true of everyone else sitting in this room next to you. And we can sing of this love and sing of this hope because of what Jesus has offered us. It's an incredible story for us to be mindful of and to acknowledge it. Because it is this great song that Mary sang centuries ago that we can sing today. The God of creation has not forgotten us. He has not left us alone. He has not abandoned us. Instead, in the heart of our sickness, the heart of our depravity, the heart of our brokenness, God has shown up. And because he has, we can magnify him through the song of our hearts. I've long been a fan of the band U2. Long fan of the band U2. Three of the four original members, and they're all still the original members, three of them are believers. Only one of them is non-believer and has been a non-believer the whole time, as well as the band the other way. So they have this entire sort of history as a family together, where they've dealt life and done what they wanted to. And you know what the truth is? If you wanted to, you could go and find some dirt on them, every one of them. And if the internet cared about me at all, you could find some dirt on me, but it doesn't, so there's that. But the truth is that the heart of especially Bono, the lead singer, is one of true, genuine commitment to Christ. Time and again, each of the songs on the albums, some of them always point to Jesus. Others just point to our life and our circumstances and our situations. But in 2008, on an album called No Line on the Horizon, a song they released, which only went to about 42, which was one of the first songs that ever did not go beyond 40, was a song called Magnificent. And it's an incredible song. And as Bono sings it to you, he's not going to sing it to you, I'm going to read it to you, but you can hear him if you listen. So, these are the words. I was born to be with you in this space and time. After that and after I haven't had a clue, only to break rhyme. This foolishness can leave a heart black and blue. Only love can leave such a mark. But only love can heal such a scar. I was born to sing for you. I didn't have a choice but to lift you up and sing whatever song you wanted me to. I give you back my voice. From the womb, my first cry, it was a joyful noise. Only love can leave such a mark. But only love can heal such a scar. Justified till we die, you and I will magnify the magnificent. When asked about this song, Bono explained it as kind of a love song. It's just kind of a love song. Kind of a celebration of a deep love that can't really be fully explained, just has to be embraced. But then when he explained it a little bit further, he said, but it also is sort of a kind of a reworking of Luke chapter 1, where Mary celebrates the magnificence of God and all that he does. It's a beautiful picture for us, and Advent is a reminder that God loves us deeply. In fact, this season is a reminder that Advent is a love song from God to us. And now my question to you is this: can you hear it yet? Can you hear him singing to you his deep love for you? Because I submit to you this, once you are able to, you will not be able to keep from singing. Will you stand with me? I truly am a sucker for a good love movie, love story. I really am. In fact, commercials actually get me from time to time, which is weird. But it's true, because I think at the heart of who we are, that's what's driving us. Now, we may call it something different. We may try to cover it up and not examine it a little bit deeper, but the truth is this. The reason why we suffer in life, the reason why we're broken is because sin has ravaged our lives. But the God of creation has made it right by sending his son to us. And in this season, we're invited to ask that question: are you broken? Are you lonely? Have you forgotten? Are you frustrated? Are you ready for Christmas to be over? Not because you're excited about the 12 days of Christmas, but you're more excited about just getting it done. I submit to you, if that's the case, then truly this song is for you. And it may be that you've heard the song, and the song is real to you, but you haven't been singing it. You really haven't. And how we sing it in our lives looks different for everyone else. You may not walk around your hallways belting out tunes, but I can assure you, you can sing the song God has placed in your heart by helping your neighbor, by shining light in a darkened world, by reminding people. God doesn't care what you can do for him. God cares about you. Lord, I love you today, and I thank you for all that you give us, and I thank you for the way that you move in our lives. My prayer is that you'd be ahead of us this morning. There are those who need to, again, hear this story, and even as our prayer partners are coming forward now, they have already been chewing on this, Lord, and trying to understand, if I miss something, am I just trying to get through this season because I just need it to be done? I need to focus on something else. Have we all said, Lord, what's the reason for the season? Only to forget that the reason is that we needed a Savior. Sometimes we've forgotten that you didn't stay in the manger. You grew up. When you followed your calling to the cross, and hanging on the cross, you said, "It is finished." Meaning your work was done. Salvation was available. That the hope of all creation could be found in you. So our prayer today, Lord, is for those who need to hear it, that they would. That this song would echo in their spirits, Lord, until they would make heaven their home by making Jesus their Lord. Whatever it may be today, Lord, there may be sickness, there may be heartbreak, there may just be a need for salvation today. I pray that those who need to would come forward and have an opportunity to pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So whatever that need may be, is our prayer part.